Awesome. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in and joining us. I'm so excited for this month to bring in Ryan Wakefield from Church Marketing University. I know that Ryan, especially in our context with Nexus and church planting, Ryan was a part of a church plant outside of I think it was Lee's Summit outside of
Yep.
Kansas City. Is that right?
That's correct.
So Ryan, why don't you just give us a real quick just overview of who you are, what CMU is, and just kind of what you guys do.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. It's great to be a part of this webinar and this Facebook Live. I absolutely love church plants. My family was a part of a church. I was the communications director at James River Church. So, little struggling church of about 10 to 15,000 in Springfield, Missouri. Just kidding, not the struggling part, but I loved that. And then went on to do some church consulting all around the US in the area of capital campaigns and generosity. And then in 2013, we moved up as a part of a group that came into Kansas City, Lee Summit area to start Summit Park Church. So I'm not the lead pastor, we're just part of the lead team in that journey. And it's been really, really cool. So loved the church planting journey. And we're 7 years in now and actually gonna be looking at merging with another church. So we've done multi-site, now we're gonna do merger. So I've kind of feel like I've done a variety of the plant, site, merger. So if you're in any of that, hey, we're going through that same experience. But in that journey of helping start Summit Park Church, we created Church Marketing University to help churches reach into their community using new ways and new tools. And so as a part of launching the church, we did things like social media and Facebook ads and Google ads and YouTube. And we started using all these tools, and more church plants were reaching out and saying, hey, can you teach us how to use those tools? Leverage those tools to not, like a business would, to make a whole bunch of money, but to reach people. And so that's where Church Marketing University started. We started just making courses saying, hey, if you want to use this tool, you want to use Instagram, you want to use Facebook ads, you want to use text messaging, you want to use things like a plan a visit process, here's a step-by-step process on how to do that. And we put those in courses, and then that's what we do, is we help churches understand how to use those tools to reach people. And we've got over 1,000 churches now in that journey. So it's so crazy to see churches all over the world. Just we come together kind of every week, and we go through a different practical step, and we're all in it to reach more people. And so that's been my journey, and super pumped to be able to hang out with some more church planters today.
Yeah, super, super excited to have you here. So I was a part of planting Revive Christian Church here in Loveland, Colorado, a little over 4 years ago, and I've really kind of walked this journey of well, having to fill the communications role. I mean, I was like kind of the worship and everything else guy is kind of what I kind of describe myself as. You just fill a bunch of different shoes whenever you're planting a church, and so just kind of learning about marketing for the first time, like dabbling at graphic design and all these different things. And I remember kind of hearing a lot about CMU or some of the other guys in this space that are doing some great things, doing Facebook ads and all that type of work, and just trying to figure it all out. And there's just so much to do. And I was really excited, transitioning this last year into working more full time with Nexus. The end of last year, I had an opportunity to sit down with Ryan and his team and sign up for their Foundations course, which I think is something you guys offer a couple times a year. Is that correct?
Yep. And it's kind of a 10-week, hey, let's get the basics dialed in really well. And so, yeah, it's one of our most favorite things that we do throughout the year.
Yeah, and so it was kind of interesting on my end of things. I was actually approaching that course, thinking about my role with Nexus as kind of the communications person with Nexus, and figuring out how do we improve our communications? How do we improve our website to be effective and not just informative and all these different things? And so how do we get to that? And it was only probably 2 weeks into that that I realized, like, man, I really want to bring a lot of this content to our guys at Nexus to really up their game in communications, to really speak into the hearts of the lead pastors that may not do a lot of the communications, but speak into the heart of the lead pastors to be able to understand some of these concepts. Not that they would have to do it all themselves, but just to understand, like, man, why is it so important that we get this right? But going through the foundations course, I just wanted to bring Ryan in to walk us through just some high level views of what does that content look like? What does it look like to really prioritize and engage digitally with our church? And I think one of those big aha moments that you kind of articulate is that your digital presence is now more important than your physical location or your physical presence, things like that. And you were even saying that prior to all the COVID stuff and things like that. So why don't you kind of explain that, expand on that a little bit and just kind of walk us through the intro of some of that, those ideas.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we do do that disclaimer that this was before COVID. So this has been multiple years before COVID. We started just encouraging churches, hey, your church's digital location is now, we would consider, way more important than your physical location when it comes to impacting and reaching your community. So what did we mean by that? Part of it, what used to be like church growth or church planning used to be, hey, if we could have the acreage next to the Walmart in town or next to the big thing, you know, then we could just have a good location off the highway. People would see us driving by. We'd have that great physical location. That was the, you know, the three rules of real estate: location, location, and location. And then, you know, people in a culture looking for a church would obviously see our church the most. And then we would be, you know, we would reach people that way. And so we started talking about how that has shifted now when in so much is driven by your digital location. So we talked about, when we talk about a digital location, we start off talking about how, like, the highways aren't physical highways in your town. They are like the highway of Google. They are search engines. They are people who are on devices and they are looking for any number of questions, whether they're searching for a church or they're asking spiritual questions. And so really that there's a highway next, and your digital location is kind of where are you in relation to that highway? So one of them is like, if you're church isn't on the first page of a Google search result for how you want to be found by your community, it's something like 91%, last I checked, of people searching don't go past the first page of Google. So it's almost like, again, metaphorically, your digital location is way buried, way back in the middle of nowhere where no one can find you. And then the highways of search engines are just the first part. We kind of talk about how social media is like the front porch of your digital location. That's where relationships start to form, and your website is like your hub of your digital location. Everything kind of revolves around that. That's kind of where your digital location sits. And then, like, if you have like a Facebook group, or that's kind of like your living room where those relationships, you know, go deeper. And then we even talk about how, like, your cars, like in your digital location, the reviews that you have on like Google, Facebook, and Yelp are like the metaphorical cars on your digital location. Meaning, like, when the Wakefield family used to do a road trip growing up, we didn't have Yelp or Google to tell us where was the best place to eat in the city that we were driving through. And so what my dad would do is he'd look around and be like, okay, that restaurant passes the car test, which meant it had enough traffic that we knew the food was probably good there. And so now, metaphorically speaking, your reviews, your Google reviews, your Facebook reviews, your Yelp reviews are kind of like the cars, you know, to your church's digital location. So that's just a little glimpse into, we start like unpacking, what does your digital location look like? Why is it so powerful? How does it help your church reach into your community? And then ultimately, how it does play, if your church is fortunate enough to have a physical location, how those two strengthen each other. But that's just kind of a little bit of a mini glimpse into what we're unpacking and why it's just so important for church leaders to pay attention and think about, okay, is our website effectively representing our church? Is it helping us get visitors every single week? Do we have reviews that if somebody's looking to go visit a church, that there's people who said, hey, this is a great church, you can trust the kids ministry here. Like, before you buy anything on Amazon, our people are going to look for reviews. And so we just unpacked how that just drives behavior. And then if you really as a church can pay attention to it and help speak to it and resource to it, you'll find more and more visitors start to come, whether that's to your digital social website or that's a physical location. So that's kind of the starting point. And Andrew, I'd even kick it over to you. As you were going throughout that foundations course, anything that really stood out to you in that conversation of taking a digital location seriously?
Yeah, no, I loved, I just love that analogy of there's some of these different things of just even the, you know, when we think physical location, when we think about the building that we're going to be meeting in, or the sign where you're going to put the signage out on the streets for your church plant when you're meeting in a school or wherever back room of whatever building that you're going to be meeting in. Like there's all this thought that goes into like, well, where are people driving by? And we just, I don't think we naturally think about that whenever it comes to, well, maybe a lot of us do. I mean, you obviously do. You're trained to do that, but a lot of church planters probably fall into that trap of just being more focused on that physical location of where people are going to show up to worship together and all that type of thing. And so, but yeah, some of those statistics, like 90%+ of people don't go past the first page of Google. Like these are things that when we hear them, they're like, well, yeah, I never do that. What you expect other people to do to find your church, right? It's just that we fall into that mindset. If you build it, they will come. And when you plant a church, like we just expect people to show up and it just doesn't work that way anymore. And so just that idea of just even on a digital highway, like where are people at? Where are people traveling? Like where would you go and set up shop if you knew people were there all the time? Well, that's a Google and that's a Facebook. And like, those are those things. And so it was just a really simple picture of, you know, if you're on page 2 of or 3 of Google, then that basically equates to you being tucked away in some backwoods neighborhood in your city and expecting people to find you without having signage to get there. And so just having that mindset in place of just being able to prioritize just even the simple SEO piece of that.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that was like, I love the website, love the rankings thing. And the thing that kind of caught me off guard a little bit, it just even in a church context, was really kind of the emphasis on reviews that you guys put in that, because it's another trap that I fall into is like, oh, like where I want to find a local place to eat. Like, I don't want to go to another chain again. I want to go find a local place to eat. That's one of those things that we look for, like the reviews on Yelp or like whatever maps that pulls up that shows the reviews on Yelp. Like that's one of the things I'm looking for. I don't want to go somewhere that only has like one or two reviews. Like if it has 150 reviews, like, oh, this place must be really good. Yep. But why is that we don't think in terms of really doing that for churches?
Yeah, I think we start the conversation for like, what's not that it's important to the church, but what is driving behavior in our culture today? And if you start from that lens, it's undoubtedly like reviews are just a huge part of how people make decisions. So you think on Amazon, if you're looking for a product and you see one product that has 500 reviews, you see a similar product that has 2 reviews, like it's a no-brainer which direction you go. And In our culture, we do it now without even thinking, no matter what you're doing. If you're going to go on a vacation, you're going to go on a trip, you're going to stay at a hotel, you're going to buy a product, you're going to like food choice. And so what I threw out there to our CMU churches is like, if your community members are going to look at reviews to determine what burrito they're going to eat today for lunch, I'm telling you, they're going to look at reviews to determine, can I trust this place with my spiritual well-being, with my most important like thing that I have on this earth, which is my family and my kids. And like, can I trust this place? Is this a healthy place? And so, man, they're going to be checking out your reviews for sure. And so for me, it's an opportunity to, as people are looking and asking questions and wondering if this is a safe place for me to come visit, we are able to get our people to share testimonies of the cool things that God is doing in their heart, in their life. And now you go from a, oh no, we don't have any reviews, that was a missed opportunity, to, man, we have 5 reviews, we have 10 reviews, and you're starting to build excitement in people's faith before they even get to your church. So it can actually be like a really cool spiritual moment for people that are like, man, if God could do that in that person's heart, if God could do that in their marriage, if God could do that in their family, man, then yeah, we need to be there. We need to connect with this church. Like, it's a cool way almost to do like testimony time. Like, reviews give you the ability to just brag on what God is doing, how awesome he is. And then again, it helps drive that decision. Like, I can trust this place. I can go visit this place, and it's going to be a safe place. So reviews are a really big deal, and it doesn't have to be hard how you get them. And you're going to want to get a steady stream of reviews coming in. You don't want to get up and say, okay, everybody go leave us a review. So there are some things you need to know, like what to do and what not to do in that equation, but it doesn't have to be hard. And one simple tip on that would be, if you have like a growth track, like a 101 class, 201 class, in one of those points, just put it in your outline to ask for reviews on Facebook, Google, and Yelp. And then that way, every person going through that class is an opportunity, and you'll find every month or every quarter or every 6 months, you'll have new reviews. And that's what makes a big difference in Google seeing like, oh, that's a reputable place in our community. We can show that to our users.
Yeah, absolutely. You have an image of some of these things. And I was just thinking of the photography piece to it. You said like pictures are like the windows, I believe. Is that the analogy there?
So this was like one of our churches that was going through the foundations course. Obviously you can tell they're a visual learner. And so if you're a visual learner, like they put this little, I was like, oh, that's so brilliant. Like you can actually kind of visualize, this is the visualization of the digital location. And so they've got the prayer hands up here, because we talk about everything starts and ends in prayer. And so we're going to say, hey, if you're going to do any sort of marketing and outreach, you have to start that thing and cover that thing in prayer. Churches that are doing marketing should be the most spiritually deep churches. Those things should feed each other, not compete. So you got your little prayer hands, you've got your Google highways, you've got your social media here, you got your Facebook group and your website here. But one of the things that you're talking about there is this photography piece. And on that photography piece, we talk about how photography is like the windows into your digital location. And to use a physical metaphor, if you've ever driven through a town and you see buildings that have no windows, you immediately get a creepy feeling, like, ooh, like whether it's like a big white van with no windows or a building with no windows, anything with no windows is like something creepy is going on in there. I don't know what it's going on, but I know it's creepy. And the same thing with your church's digital location. Photography has a way of allowing your community to see into your church and see what God is doing in such a powerful way. Photography communicates so much about like, who are the people? Who are the leadership? What is the experience like? Is there something for my kids? What do I need to wear? What is the environment? Like, where do I go in? Where am I going to sit? So photography just has a way of answering so many questions, connecting with your community, setting them at ease. And in that discussion, we talk for a church. I'm a creative, background. And so we used to talk a lot about, and we still do, developing a photography team and like, man, you can get thousands of photos. And then I quickly realized a lot of church planters, a lot of smaller churches were overwhelmed. Like, Ryan, we'll never be able to have a full-on photography team. We'll never have 1,000 photos. And so we started kind of backing that up and being like, okay, don't start with 1,000. Your church needs 10 photos. Like, you need 10 photos. And then in the foundations course, we'll show you the exact 10 photos that you need. And then we will say, okay, those 10 photos, now go get those up on your website. Go permeate your social media with those 10 photos. Use those 10 photos on your Google My Business, on your Yelp profile. Anywhere throughout your digital location, you're going to use those 10 photos, and it just helps a church so much connect with your community. So we love talking about photography.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that I think that in our context, it's interesting because I'll go and peruse and go through a lot of our guys' websites and just kind of see what we're seeing and what we're not seeing and some of those concepts. But I think the one thing, if there was just a real simple fix just to improve your website, I mean, my goodness, like these little devices with portrait mode, I mean, my goodness, you can just spend a couple weeks and get some solid pictures and put them on your website, because a lot of our church planters' websites will have pictures of maybe the city that they're in, or maybe a nice harvest field, or like some other random pretty looking pictures, but there's not a lot of life of the church that's pictured and depicted on their websites or maybe even on Facebook. I think that the one thing that our guys probably tend to do a little bit better at is have pictures on their Facebook page, but rarely do those transfer over to maybe their websites. And so Yeah, just love the simplicity of that. Why don't you tell us just a two or three or four pictures off the top of your head of just some simple things that they could have or should have just right on the front page of their website.
Yeah, and let me give you a little bit of a funny, fun test that we throw out there to our churches. And we call this the not scientific church growth test. And here it is. If you want to know if a church is a growing church, I can tell you this test has a high accuracy, but I don't know why. If you look at their website, count the number of smiles on their homepage of their people. It can't be custom photography. It can't be a cheesy like, oh, I saw that photo at my dentist's office. No, like it has to be your people. You know, churches that are growing, you can test this out in your area or your church. They have 10 smiles on their homepage. That's my non-scientific church growth test. So do what you will with that. But let me share with you the 10 different categories of photos. So these are the 10 different categories that this has been a little bit different because of COVID. We've added like categories 13 and 14 down here, which are like your socially distanced categories that we've never would have imagined, you know, like with people in masks. And so like it's a weird time. So we've certainly done that. We've got like, you know, church at home photos, which are super helpful if your church is, you know, digital only. And we put all these example photographs that our churches can use inside CMU until they can take their own. But those are a couple new categories because of COVID. The ones that we typically talk about are like a welcome photo. This is like a young family visiting your church and experiencing them for the first time. So that's kind of like the welcome category that you see here. You need one great welcome shot. You need a great family shot. So the number one indicator, this is our scientific assessment, the number one indicator that you're going to be a growing church is that your lead pastor prioritizes reaching the next generation. It's the number one indicator that we found in our assessment. So you need some photographs, at least one photograph that captures that. You need friends having fun because the local church is a place of life-giving community. So it's more than just a service, it's more than just a building. So you need to communicate that with at least one shot of, you will find life-giving friendships here. That's number three. Kids having fun, those are another shot that you need. This is Summit Park Church. When we started out, we were in a community center. You can see here, we have like a tent. We had stations set up. This was like one big room. We had 3-year-olds through sixth grade and about 70 of them in this little room at one point. So that was my life in the first year or two of Summit Park Church. But you can see here, the facility is like you got a tent, you got a piece of yarn, you got some Fruit Loops. But the point is like there's a volunteer here, there's somebody who loves these kids, they're still having fun, you know, whereas this is juxtaposed to like that's a James River shot, right? $30 million worth of facilities. So you don't have to have that to have the perfect shot. Here's what you were talking like portrait mode. Some of our most effective CMU churches, they have, they'll send out 3 junior hires in teams with cell phones to get photos. So like the portrait mode can do wonders. So like those are kid shots and you can do all of these as a church plant with cell phones. The next category is your speaking shots. So most churches are gonna have some sort of speaking. So you want to show what that looks like. Keep in mind, all of these have a consistent theme of life, enthusiasm, smiles. Nobody wants to take a hour out of their week, especially if they do not believe in God or are a follower of Jesus. They're already wondering if I can belong here. So something enthusiastic. We think a shot of the pastor's family, something that's a little bit more highly relational than you would might typically think. So like something that says, oh, these look like people that I would love to hang out with. A shot of people listening in the service, specifically if you can work in so the people can see what people wear. You can see like this lady has some coffee in the sanctuary. You're gonna answer so many questions. Your singing time, a shot of singing because worship is typically apart, you know, and again, smiling. You can get these shots if your band rehearses. You can turn on all the lights. It doesn't have to be during a Sunday morning turn on all the lights and have a junior higher with a phone go up and get an up close portrait mode of your worship leader.
Yeah, that was that was one thing I was going to say is that you, I mean, you have a handful of those pictures, I think, whether they're of the pastor or of just families and interacting and stuff like that. Like, they don't have to all be done on Sunday morning when everything's going crazy. Like,
you actually, can, yeah,
you talked about staging some of these things.
A lot of times it's easier just to stage them, like in the welcome shot. Like, you on some of these, you might just need, hey, we just need four people on a Tuesday night. Right? Like, yeah. And you can get the perfect shot. You only need one of these, like this shot right here. Hey, we need four people right at the door. This could be Monday morning when it's not negative 13 degrees, certainly. But don't think inside the service box. Lighting is normally a big issue. And so think outside. It doesn't have to be exactly during that perfect moment. The group shot. So like your small groups would be that. When it comes to your facilities, I don't love empty facilities. I love showing relationship in front of the facility, like that, for example. So show what the experience is going to be like, but show how, like, you can see people are connecting. This, you know, this grandpa over here has a granddaughter, there's signage, there's young people. So if you can, anytime you have a facility shot, fill it full of people. On that note, these are the things we say not to do. Don't do empty rooms. Not a good thing unless it's just an official Google review, like a Google tour. We aren't a big fan of dark room, bright lights. People who are far from God don't necessarily understand what's happening there. You don't want your photography to raise more questions without the context of what's happening. So we don't love those photos to start off with. These are the photos that like all the churches love to use. And we're like, hey, don't do that. Show an up close smiling family. Don't do dark room, bright lights. And then for bonus, like your people having fun outside of church, here, get a lot of guys in your photography and those spiritual defining moments of like a water baptism. And those are the categories. So hopefully that gives your church planners like some very like real examples of what that would look like. A lot of those shots that you just saw are from church plants.
Yeah. And I mean, I just love how it's just a simple thing that we just neglect. I think if you're not intentional about taking the time to actually go out and get these pictures for the purpose of making your online presence, your website, your Facebook page, all these different things, just to improve what people see when they search for you, it's just a missed opportunity. I think that, you know, and I've just been kind of convicted by that. I think initially when I was going through this, I was like, man, we struggled at that sometimes. And there was occasional like big events, like a big Easter service or something like that, or an outreach thing where we'd really try and schedule a photographer to come in. But on the regular, like, it was just one of those things that we just didn't really prioritize. And so we didn't have a full-time communications person whose only purpose was to do this type of stuff. And so it was just one of those things that you have to plan for, you have to strategize for, and just prepare for. But it's just such a simple improvement that people could be making. A lot of our planters could be making to their websites right now. Man, some of your websites are decent, but they lack personality.
And not just your website. Be sure you put that throughout your digital location. So don't forget about your Google My Business, Yelp, Facebook. And when you think about the importance of reaching young families, like what we talked about, the number one indicator you're going to be a growing church is that your lead pastor prioritizes reaching the next generation. That generation is so visual. And so they have a phrase, if you ever talk to a younger person and you're talking to about something, they're going to ask you for pics. And then if you do not have pictures, they will say pics or it didn't happen. Like, if you don't have pictures, that did not exist. And so for a lot of our churches, it's like, we in this metaphor don't exist because we aren't showing what God is doing throughout our digital location through pictures. So just think about that. Like, yes, it's awesome that you have a worship team and you have somebody speaking, but if nobody like is connecting with it or knows about your church, then man, it's a huge missed opportunity. And again, you can do a lot of stuff with it, but get a junior hire with a cell phone, show them those 10 photos, and you can get dangerously close and use that momentum then to keep getting better at this.
Yeah, I want to pause for a second because I'll just say that one of the things that I really appreciated about not only course, but especially you, Ryan, and just your heart behind it is is really just the prioritization of prayer in your marketing and things of that nature. And a lot of times we just try and look cool and be clever, and we just totally separate that from the spiritual side of what we're trying to actually accomplish, which is just life change and advancing the kingdom. And I've really appreciated that about CMU, about you and your courses that you put together. But can you talk just to maybe, I mean, and you've kind of teased on it a little bit, but just kind of talk a little bit more about why is it so important that that when we're talking about marketing, we're talking about presenting ourselves, we're talking about all these different things, why is it so important to bathe all of that in prayer?
Yeah, I think it was, I was fortunate enough growing up, you know, in the Bible college and in a couple mentors in my life. And at one point I thought I was going to be a youth pastor. And so I was underneath interning with a youth pastor, and all of them, all of the leaders in my life, if there was one constant thing that they kept saying is it would be along the lines of the battle is won in prayer. If the church isn't praying, then what are we doing? You know, like everything came back to prayer. And what was interesting was, or all of these leaders, mentors in churches, all of them were super aggressive about outreach, investing in marketing. But as aggressive as they were about outreach and marketing and external communication, they were just as aggressive about covering everything in prayer. So it was a great, healthy model that I got to observe kind of behind the scenes. And when I worked at a church, at James River Church, the church, when I was there in Bible college at Evangel, I think it was right around 3,000 people when I started. When I left and moved up to into Kansas City, I think it was closer to 12 to 15,000 people. But in that process, a lot of people from the outside looking in would be like, oh, mega churches, you know, they're so spiritually shallow. Man, those people, they've got a Starbucks in there. Like they make donuts. Like, oh, of course they're growing. It's because, you know, they're just bribing our communities to come. Like, in like when I, you know, and that was like my first perspective. And then once I got inside behind the scenes, man, that church prayed more than any church that I ever seen or been a part of. Every single Wednesday night, it was a prayer meeting, calling the church to pray. Every single month, the pastor and the leadership team would take a day and pray and fast. Every single youth service, an hour before youth service, you would have hundreds of students out praying. And so from the outside perspective, it looked like, oh, they're growing because of all the money that they're spending and all this stuff that they're doing. Internally, you knew, no, like we're like the people are praying like crazy, but at the same time, they're not just praying and then saying, okay, God, we prayed, like now you go do it. It's like, no, we prayed. Now, what do you want us to do to now take the next step and reach people? And what's cool is throughout the entire Bible, you see this unique partnership between God and creation, where God is going to only do what God can do in the supernatural, but God invites us into this partnership from the very beginning. And one of my coaches, John Eric Moser, talks about, look at the very beginning of Genesis. Look what God does. God says, I'm going to create the world. I'm going to create animals, but I'm going to invite you to name them, right? And then that type of partnership doesn't stop. Like every, from the beginning of the Old Testament through the building of the temple, you see like God's doing what only he can do, but then he's calling and he's gifting people. And so there's this weird, interesting partnership between, man, praying like crazy and just saying, God, unless you build the house, those that labor, labor in vain. We know that to be true. So we're going to pray like crazy that you would build the house. But then the other part of that is there are people who are laboring. So God builds the house, but there are people who are definitely laboring in that partnership. And so I think from all throughout my ministry journey, I've just seen this beautiful coming together of both the spiritual, the supernatural, the emphasis on you better be praying over every single thing. And then also, but that means we should be aggressive about sharing the good news as much as we possibly can into all of the world. And all of the world means Facebook, Google, YouTube, Instagram. And so it's cool to see that lived out. And then one thing that really makes an impact on you too is when you start to pray like crazy, if like before you do a Facebook ads campaign, man, the church is praying, you're covering that thing in prayer. And then you start to hear stories of people who are being baptized and they're like, you know what, for some reason I was scrolling on Facebook and I saw your guys' video and there was just something in my heart. Or like you start to hear stories of like, we, you know, send out a direct mail. Don't just send out a direct mail piece. Call your people to pray and fast over that. And we heard stories of like people throwing away, like this family threw away our direct mail piece, and a kid reached in and grabbed the direct mail piece out of the trash and was like, I want that for whatever reason. Like, you just hear things like we're a door hanger, you know, we immobilize our people with door hanger campaigns. And then, you know, that door hanger, like God would just supernaturally like prompt people's heart. Like, I have something for you in this local church. So once you start seeing that and you start to hear stories and you're starting to see people be baptized, and now you're just seeing like, oh my word, God, you are really doing only what you could do. And yeah, all this stuff that we do, it seems kind of silly and like, does it really make a difference? But man, when God puts his grace on it, it's interesting how effective and powerful it can be in sharing the good news and how much God loves our community. So that'd be my charge to your crew is, man, be equally aggressive with outreach and marketing as you are with spiritual and prayer.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I really appreciate you sharing some of that stuff. I want to talk about a couple super practical things. I mean, you've mentioned a handful of just even in that of a handful of different marketing opportunities that we have at our disposal, from mailers to door hangers to Facebook ads and all the Google ads and all these different things. Right now in Nexus, we're really kind of encouraging our guys to relook at literally everything and have this mindset of relaunch this year of as we are coming out of 2020 and all the implications of what that is, and maybe even coming out of this week of being frozen solid and going forward, of what does it look like to re-engage our community, to relaunch, to have that. One of the phrases we say is, Well, similar. I mean, we encourage our guys to always be thinking like church planters, not just like pastors that have arrived and have that mindset. So always be thinking as a church planter. So as we move into this idea of just relaunch, if you could give us just one, maybe two things to do in a marketing mindset, what would be your primary things that if you're going to do marketing, do this, and then maybe on the flip side, don't do this. This is not good.
Yeah. So two things. Number one is interesting timing on this. We just launched this today. It's the answer to this question that our best shot at answering it. It's what we're calling our 21 days of hope and the Easter experience. It's inside our ultimate Easter kit. So if your churches want to check it out, you can totally for free. It's our gift to local churches, helping them reach more people going into Easter. So you can go to churchmarketinguniversity.com/Easter. What this 21-day initiative is it's a 21-day journey. It's almost like saying to your congregation, well, let's go on a local mission trip together. And it's about bringing hope to your people, but also through your people. And so every single day, your people will get an email. Every few days, you'll get a text. The people will get a text reminder. And what's cool is like some days it's designed, hey, here's a devotional today about Easter to fill your heart full of hope and to get you excited about Easter. And then the next day it might be, hey, who are three people that we can start praying for? And right, let's write those names down and let's spend the next 10 minutes praying for those three people. And then what you don't know is like on day number 9, it's going to encourage you, hey, text those three people and see if there's any way that you can be praying for them. And so the idea is it's a way to engage and mobilize your congregation. So right now, those are one of my favorite quote unquote marketing campaigns is it's not so much, hey, let's go put up a billboard and expect people to flock to our church. No, let's mobilize our congregation to bring hope to them, but also hope through them and get them sharing their faith story, get them praying for people, get them being the answer to somebody's prayer. And then out of the overflow of that ministry, the last kind of week of that 21 days experience is, okay, now invite them to your church's Easter experience, whether that's online or in person or some sort of hybrid approach. But it starts with this idea of ministry first and then invite out of the overflow of that relationship. So that's one thing that we launched just today, literally like at 11 a.m. Central today, we launched it for our CMU churches. You can get that again inside that Ultimate Easter Kit as a part of that. And you can see what that's all about. So that would be my thought is do more of a mobilization campaign. Get your people thinking about how they can bring hope to their relationships and their connections, as opposed to what the church has traditionally done in the past, where it's like, let's do a big event gathering on Easter. And then all of our people invite their friends to the gathering, and then the expert Christians take over from there. It's like, let's kind of flip that on our head and see if we can mobilize our people, since a lot of us can't do big gatherings, which I think can be really healthy. The second thing I would say is ask the question, what does our community need right now? And how can our church be the answer to that? So if you start with the question, what is our community need right now? And how can our church be the answer to that? Whatever answer you come up with will automatically put your church in that relevant zone. And so if you're saying, hey, what our community needs right now is there's all of these students and they're having to figure out digital learning. And it's really a hard, it really is impacting a lot of families because of, you know, especially ones with like single parent homes or people who don't have as many resources so that maybe they don't have fast internet or whatever. So like that is one of the top things that our community needs right now. How can our church help be a solution to that? If you start entering in to the conversations in your community and meeting those needs, man, that is a huge open door to now invite people to share the good news. And so start from that perspective of how can you enter those conversations thoughtfully, add value, be the answer to somebody's prayer. And when your church does that, you quickly become a place in your community, in your city, where people are saying, I am so glad Summit Park Church is here. I'm so glad that they are here because, you know, they just are always answering, you know, needs and prayers, and they're just such a life-giving place in our community. So those would be my two things right now. So hopefully that caught a few people by surprise. You know, it's not a Facebook ad, it's not a direct mail piece. It's hopefully much more thoughtful and mobilizing. Not that there's anything wrong with those. I mean, those still have their place, but I wouldn't start there.
Yeah. No, that's great. I had a practical question from a church that I was having a conversation with a month or so ago when I was telling them about some of the foundations course and some of the things that I've been learning. When it came to the Google ad grant,
yep.
Just to get super nitty gritty here for a second. But that's one of those things that there's a little mini course that CMU offers that walks you through what the Google ad grant is, which is like up to $10,000 a month for, which is like free advertising money. It's a write-off for Google. It's a blessing to nonprofits. And you can sign up and go get that. And I was telling a church about this and they had some pushback from their higher ups based on, like the phrases about signing up for TechSoup or Google when it comes to like the non-discrimination clauses and things of that nature. How can you kind of explain what that is, or maybe explain what I'm asking a little bit better? And some of the pushback that some churches have for that.
That makes sense. And when you look at that program, and it is, you can get for, if you're a 501c3, right? I almost said 401(3)(b), which is another good conversation to have. But if you're a 501c3 nonprofit, Google says, hey, we'll give nonprofits up to $10,000 a month in grant money that you can use to then run Google ads to your community and help solve issues. And so, I mean, they're especially great if your church plan is doing some of those things that I talk about, where you're meeting needs, maybe you have an after school program, maybe you have a mom's day out. Like there's all sorts of different ways that you can use that to then run ads to make your community aware. And you can certainly run those from a spiritual perspective as well. However, there is fine print, as you know, with most of these larger companies, anti-discrimination laws, and there's all sorts of, so when you get into the fine print, there's some things that will for a lot of churches are kind of like, they make you say, I wonder what they mean by that. And right now there's in the church space, there is a lot of ambiguity of like, okay, what do they mean by that? And there's kind of three popular perspectives of when it comes to looking at that fine print and be like, okay, well, how do we react to that? One is, I don't even want to mess with that, with the fine print, because I just don't want to go there. I don't want the church to be entangled in any of that, which is totally fine. Like there are so many other ways that you can reach out in your community. Google Ads is one of 30 to 100 different ones. So if that's you, that's totally fine. There's other pastors that would be like, well, this is how I read it. And that is in alignment with our church, but like we don't discriminate, and here's why. And so it can get a little bit sticky. My best advice to you would be read the fine print. look out there. If you do a little bit of research on it, they'll be like, okay, here's our church did go ahead with it. And here's why, like, here's how we read that. And here's why that aligns with what we thought. And if Google ever comes back and adds some clarity in and around it, then we'd be like, okay, well, we were thinking this direction. So, it is a little bit weird. There is a little bit of uncertainty there, but just read the fine print, look at some different churches' perspectives who have kind of read that different ways, and then decide what really works for your church. And if at all you have like a check in your spirit, like, I just don't know. No pressure. Like, this is an option of many. There's no pressure to go that route. There are some churches that, like, it is a huge blessing, because $10,000 of advertising money a month is a big blessing. So and one final note on that is the one catch of that is you kind of do know how, you have to know how to run Google Ads effectively. So that's where, why we do have a course inside CMU. That's like kind of what we do is like, hey, if you want to run the Google Ads program, here's how you can do it. And here's how you can do it effectively. And then we also, Molly on our team is Google Ads certified. So she can certainly help answer some of those questions. And then some churches are like, Molly, will you just run it for us? And we can just hire you to do that. We do that as well. So there's multiple ways to do that, but it really, you got to, that's kind of a case by case basis. That's hard to kind of give a blanket answer to.
Yeah, I have a question in the chat. That's great. I mean, there is some of that ambiguity. I think that for those that are actually using it, there's so much that can be effective in immediately getting your church on the front page of Google or the first page of Google, because, man, there's not a lot of churches that do that, of pay for ads to get at the front of the Google space. So even in larger cities, I mean, it surprises me at how few churches do that. I have a question here in the chat about the selfie style pastor videos from Facebook ads, and then moving into plan your visit, a landing page on your website, and then integrating some of the text and church type of stuff. So can you kind of speak into what is the selfie style? But about that in your course, about not doing, or maybe it's you, or maybe it's Chris Abbott or one of those guys that, you know, just kind of talk about, you know, we're conditioned to, when it's a horizontal video and it has lower thirds and all that stuff, like, boom, it's an advertisement. But when it's a selfie style video, it's a different mindset. So kind of talk about maybe that first part of it a little bit.
Yeah, Jeremy, that's a really good question. I think you're talking about Chris Abbott. So Chris is a good friend. He's a guest presenter all throughout CMU. So if you're inside CMU, you'll see that. We have a course all about plan a visit that walks you through step by step how to do just that. And in fact, the last step of the foundations course is actually how to run that style of an outreach. So once you've got your marketing foundation in place, that is a great strategy to now start running to get more reach and visitors every single week. So the selfie style is certainly like very, very popular, and it works great on social media. What you will notice, what Andrew was saying, is if you do a highly produced video and you put it on social media, 9 times out of 10, it will cost you way more to get somebody interested in whatever your church is doing than if you would simply break out your phone and do like get a younger person to help you with this. And I'm even getting the age where, like, I don't know the ideal, like how you hold it, all that. So get a younger person. And then you just are talking more like it's a relational invitation, and just hook them in a few seconds of why they should care about what you're talking about. And then call them to action as far as, hey, whether that's Easter, hey, we've got all the details for you and your family on our Easter website. So you can go to summitparkchurch.com/Easter, get all the details. You can go ahead and pre-register your kids there and plan your experience. We've kind of shifted over to calling it plan your experience for churches that have a digital and an in-person, since visit doesn't always work for churches right now. But yes, it can be highly effective. The goal is just make it very relational. Kind of goes back to the last talking point, is when it comes to your marketing, the more relational that you can make it, personal that you can make it, the way it will be way more effective for you. So if it just feels like, hey, that's Ryan and he just happens to be a pastor, and it's almost like he's personally inviting me to something, that will be way more effective in getting people to kind of stop the scroll and pay attention. Our brains are just conditioned. If it looks like an ad, we're just going to scroll past it. And we see that all throughout your marketing channels. So for example, if you spend 10 hours a week making your email look beautiful, you have a newsletter with logos and graphics, same thing happens to that email that happens to the professional video. It goes right into the trash or you scroll right by it. However, if you had a plain text, we call them ugly looking emails, it looks like the pastor just sat down and wrote me an email, that has a much greater chance of getting somebody's attention. So think, when you think marketing now, train your mind not to think polished, professional, think relational, think personal, and specific to the platform. Like what are people used to seeing on this platform? That's way more effective than like, oh, somebody's just paying to interrupt my day to do an ad on this platform.
Because like a YouTube would be like it's the horizontal videos, like every video looks like that. And so you can do a little bit more of a polished video probably on YouTube, but on social media, everything's vertical. And as a video guy, like that really annoyed me. I was like, everybody just turn your phone sideways. Like, why you got to do this? But that's just what everybody does now. And so it's just normal to just to do the selfie style videos. And that was extremely effective for us when I started learning about some of that stuff for Revive and how we started doing some of that. And we got a lot of great return on some of those type of things. Transitioning, going into a little bit deeper in his question, what's the deal with plan your experience or plan my visit? Just in a nutshell, what are you talking about when we talk about some of that stuff? Because that's a lot of people are starting to do that. Like Jeremy even mentions in the question, somebody says it's the most effective way of reaching people to connect with them prior to even coming to your church. What's the big deal about plan your experience?
Yeah. So the big overarching principle that you want to keep in mind is growing churches are always growing their list. And by list, I mean like their database of contact information. We kind of call it the law of the list inside the Foundations course, meaning if you're going to be a growing church, you've got to be growing your whether that you call it your database or your list, essentially names, emails, and hopefully mobile number right now. Like we probably don't have time to get into text messaging, but most effective form of communication, your church better be using the most effective form of communication that we have. So the overarching picture is growing churches are always growing that list. Why is that? It's because ministry flows out of relationships. Relationships take time. Relationships can start when we have a way to get a hold of people. Okay, so if you're trying to build a ministry and that's happening in the context of relationships, but you don't have a way to get a hold of people, you're always going to be hitting a lid. So a growing church is always looking at everything that they're doing. And before that, they're jumping into Facebook ads, before they're doing anything fancy, they get really good at collecting people's contact information. So they look at, okay, every single week, we're going to put more energy into having people fill out a connect card than we are going to be polishing that worship song. Because it's great that we have awesome worship, but if we can't get people to come back, they're not going to experience our worship next week. So we're going to focus really, really hard every single week of the best part of our service is our pitch for our connect card, right? It's like a different thing. Same thing with Easter. Before we spend 30 hours figuring out which Chris Tomlin song we're going to rehearse like crazy, the connect card part. So they get really good at every single week collecting contact information. They get really good with their Easter and Christmas. The biggest thing before they measure their attendance, like it's no good if you doubled your attendance if you didn't get everybody's contact information. So we're going to high five on contact information before we are doubling the attendance. They get really good any way they possibly can. If they can collect contact information, here's what growing churches know. We have a way to get a hold of them. We have a way to build a relationship with them. If we have a way to build a relationship with them, we can now get them to come back and go on a discipleship journey with them. All of that hinges on that contact information. Plan my visit, plan your visit, plan your experience is all just one little sliver of a strategy under that umbrella of the importance of collecting contact information. The cool part about plan your experience is it allows the church to collect contact information and start the relationship before that person even visits the church. Because if you're a church plant, I promise you, there's probably hundreds of families, and this is going to be a little bit depressing, but hear me out. There's probably hundreds of families in your community that have at one point or another kind of said, oh, there's a new church. We should go check that out. We should go visit that. But here's the thing. They've never visited your church. And here's what's even worse. You have no clue who they are. So you have no chance to say, hey, we're still here. We still want to go on that relationship. You're still going to love it. So plan your experience allows you to enter the conversation. And then when somebody says, hey, you know what? I'm interested, or I'm mildly interested, you get their contact information at that point. And then the goal is to go on that relationship journey, reach out, connect with them, see if they've got any questions. Oh, your kid has a gluten allergy. Oh, that's okay. We've got you covered. Oh, you're not able to visit in person. That's no worries. We can get you connected over here. And so you're able to start that relationship journey with them. You're able to get them to their next step. And then that's when your follow-up plan kicks in. So plan your experience is just the one sliver of a strategy that can be really, really effective. When we started Summit Park Church, we did this in the context of kids pre-registration. And we were trying to do kind of the, in 2013, the launch big type model. And we didn't want everybody waiting to get in the kids room. So we started saying, hey, pre-register your family online. And then we thought, well, let's not just do that for our launch. Let's do that every single week. And in the first 5 years, we had over 700 families pre-register their kids online and in advance before visiting Summit Park Church. We would have families who the dad just got relocated to Kansas City. They're looking for a church. They're like, hey, we're going to be moving there in 3 months. And they've already pre-registered their kids. You can do all sorts of fun things where you have a gift bag waiting for them with their name on it. You can make meaningful connections with that family. So like the kids pastor already knows, oh, what's up, Kaylin? High five. Like, I remember, like, you know, like there's all sorts of cool things that you can do, but that's just one little strategy under the umbrella of you got to get really, really, really good at collecting contact information. So is that, Andrew, is that
yeah, good? Yeah. The only thing that was in there is that, and we really don't have time to cover Text in Church and all the incredible things that does. Maybe we'll invite Tyler from Text in Church to come in and talk to us about a little bit about that. But really just that Facebook, to answer Jeremy's question, it's really that engaging Facebook ad to get them to click, to go to a landing page of your website where the intention is to get somebody to plan their visit, to capture their contact information and really start a relationship before they even set foot in your building. And then from there, like once they do the plan your visit, if you're integrated with Text in Church on the back end, it will automatically shoot them into like an automated follow-up process that you can curate and do all that type of stuff. But it's more than just a coffee during the week next week of just saying like, hey, how's it going? Like, let's get to know each other. Like it's a, like the day of they get a text message automated that's in like, hey, glad you're visiting. Like, and then you, if they respond, like you get a chance to interact with them. And then throughout the week, they get more interaction. And then it's, I mean, gosh, it goes up to a few weeks of follow-up, right? Like 4 weeks of follow-up, that type of a process. And so it's really just engaging in that relationship and moving forward. And so Text in Church, plan your visit. Those are great ways to kind of do in that. To kind of finish up, I think Brian's got a question here. How much should a church be pouring into an app instead of their website? And so I think maybe even a question would be like, what do you consider an effective communication tool? Like, what is an effective website or what is an effective app actually going to be doing for your church?
Yeah. Well, Brian, great question. One of the best pieces of advice I could give you is treat your website like a staff member, and it should be the most effective team member that your church has. And so I would even say you need a job description for your website, and then you need to be able to evaluate, is this team member doing its job effectively? If it is, give that sucker a raise. If it's not, fire it gracefully and move on, because too many churches have a website, but they don't know, like, is it actually helping our church? And your website should be the most effective team member that you have. It should be constantly, hourly, every single day. You don't give that sucker any time off. The team member, every single hour, is reaching into your community, representing your church really well, meeting new people, inviting them to come experience, helping them take their next step, helping them get to their next step in their experience, and then helping them follow up. So you can have a job description and your website should be crushing that job description. And so before you look at any other things like an app, Facebook ads, because we talk about this in the Foundations course, so many churches want to run out and do all these other things. And it's they look at a church like, oh, that church got such good results. But it's because that other church had their foundation in place. And if you don't have your foundation in place, some of these higher level, more advanced things don't work because you need that foundation in place. And your website is a huge part of that foundation. So before you do anything else above a website, I would ask you, number one, is your website ranked number one on a variety of high level searches for churches in your city, comma, state, or in your community, whatever it is? Is it ranked at least on the first page, ideally number one in both the results section and the map section? If it's not, we're not going to worry about anything else. We're not going to worry about an app. We're not going to invest money in, we're going to get that thing to position number one in the map section and position number one in the search results. The second question I'm going to ask you is your website bringing you a stream of visitors every single week? Is it bringing you a stream of visitors every single week through the plan a visit process or any other process? If it's not, we're not going to worry about an app. We're not going to worry about Facebook. We're not going to worry about anything else. We're going to get our website to a point where it's accomplishing the job description that we set out to represent our church well, meet new people, and get them to visit our experience. And it's going to do that every single week. Now, once that is done, I think you need to could then have a conversation of like, what is a next level tool like an app that would make sense for our church? I do think too many churches are investing resources in areas that aren't their foundation and they get very little return on investment. One other thing to consider when it comes to an app is a lot of churches have a bad habit, and this is throughout church history, of walling off our people. We do it with our buildings. We do it with our communication channels. We do it all throughout. So we take our community, we take our congregation, and we remove them from the community discussion. So now instead of our people having that discussion on social media, we're having that discussion within an app. And guess how many people inside our community see that discussion? Nobody. And so I think you got to be careful, unless you really know what you're doing, moving to an app, that you don't end up walling off your congregation. Like if you went in to plant a church for the whole goal of reaching your community, now you're going to take your group of believers and wall them off in a communication that isn't social by nature, isn't outreach by nature. You're saying that our primary goal is to help new people find and follow Jesus, but your communication strategy is isolating your core and your community. And what you'll find is it gets harder and harder for there to be a bridge between your congregation and your community. Does that always the case? No. Is there some very practical reasons why you could have an app and not encounter that? Yes. Do far too many churches end up going down communication channels that wall themselves off and end up hurting the mission of their church? Yes, see it all the time. They become inward focused, and now they essentially void their community of a gospel presence because they've walled off their communication. So anyway, I don't have a whole lot of time to unpack all that, but those would be a couple things that I would say before you jump into the app discussion.
Yeah, good. No, yeah, appreciate your time, man. I know that we're just over. If I could be so bold as to ask you just one more question, could you share with us just a couple of examples of some effective websites that because I know that you guys partner with like Ministry Designs to kind of create a new platform for churches to kind of create their own space, their own effective website, and integrating a lot of this mentality that you're kind of talking through, and as a confession for me, like this is one of those Nexus things that I'm kind of on this journey along with you guys, anybody watching this, that we're trying to improve everything that we do in the communications and the website area, to try and be very effective in that area of connecting with new planters or new partners and things of that nature. And so, definitely want to be able to help coach, but also walk alongside you guys as we're moving in this direction to really try and be more effective in how we're presenting ourselves online. So, if you have a couple, just a minute or two to share what a great website kind of looks like, in your coaching and mentality, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. this is going to sound really self-serving, but we also have a website builder. Next week, we're actually doing our first ever website bootcamp. We have 100 churches signed up, and we're going to help those 100 churches build and launch a website in 3 days. And so it's something cool that we're doing. There's all sorts of guides and resources at churchmarketinguniversity.com. Look under articles. We have an ultimate website builder guide for churches. We have all sorts of fun stuff. You can find out about the bootcamp there. Before I show you a site, I've got a site. I'll show you one of the guys on our team that's one of our coaches is a church planner down in New Orleans. So I'll show you what their site looks like. It's built on our Omega CMU website solution. The key thing to remember in this, I get super frustrated when these websites come out with like, hey, these are the top 100 best church websites. That bugs me to no end. The reason why is because they are making that determination off of how that website looks, not whether that website is bringing any church, any sort of visitors. So I'm not going to, you know, run away from what I just talked about. Like, I don't know if a website's effective because I don't know how many visitors is bringing that church. Now I can show you, oh, this website looks like it's set up to bring this church a lot of visitors. My guess is it is, but I need to see the data to see if it actually is working. So I know because of what I'm about to show you here, this site here from Ryan Keller is churchonamission.org. You can check it out. This site, I know it's effective because they get visitors all the time, both digital and in person. You can see some things right away. Number one is they've got a couple of different ways people can plan their experience. So they can plan all three of these buttons fire the same thing, but you'll notice everything on this site is designed to get somebody who is far from God to plan their visit in different ways. And then this fires off an option. Now, if you're going to go and check this out, be sure in the first name and last name, you just put put CMU, CMU, so they know that you're not actual a guest, because their contact person will reach out to you in like 15 minutes if they think that they're going to visit. But they've got a plan your experience process. That's what we talked about through Text and Church right there. That's built in. That's going to fire from different ways. So all throughout, you can see, that's going to take them to the new here page. So you can see here, it's got a lot of great media, photography, video. It's welcoming. It's going to, you know, talk to right up front. This is a church serving Kenner, Metairie in New Orleans. So that's specific to, you know, that's intentional for search engines, but it's also going to say, hey, when is our church meeting? Where is our church meeting? All the major information is right up front. So many churches we work with, I can't tell you where they meet, when they meet, how they meet. I've got no clue. So that information needs to be right up front. A lot of the information about for new people, for kids, for groups, again, locations, Kenner or online, a message having the lead pastor in here, some frequently asked questions. We love this accordion because you can put a lot of information, but it doesn't take up a whole lot of space. So it's going to answer some of those major questions about where do I park? Is there something for the kids? What type of church? What do I wear? This is the recent service, most recent message. And then you can check out like the new here page. But all throughout it, you're going to see a beautiful examples of relational photography, of invitation, of keeping the main things the main things. You're going to see a great use of white space, so it's not overcrowded. It's going to look great on mobile devices. So if I shrunk this down, it's going to look great on mobile devices as well, which is big. And so this is cool here is it's got like some social proof. So kind of going back to those, the idea of reviews, they've built in reviews into their new here page as well. So people who have visited the church, it's got great, you know, photography. You can test drive a sermon. So if you just click through this website, this is kind of how we like to coach churches to set up their website. And if we can be a resource, reach out, ryan@churchmarketinguniversity.com. is my email. If anything that I mentioned today, you're like, Ryan, that would be a blessing to my church, I will try to hook you up as much as we possibly can, give it to you, resource it, give it away to you, and bless you. So ryan@churchmarketinguniversity.com. Any follow-up questions, I'd be happy to help.
Awesome. Well, we are well over our time, but I want to thank everybody who's on here. And Ryan, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you taking some time for us and to coach us through some of these first steps of just understanding and prioritizing our digital presence. Super excited about everything that you do, about CMU. I just want to encourage all of our guys to check them out and check out Text and Church. That was mentioned too, but some of these other things, like there's such a wealth of knowledge that is there and ready to be learned from. So thanks, Ryan, again. We really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And man, you church planners out there, be encouraged. God's got you. I know it can be tricky season that we're in right now, but we need you in the kingdom moving forward and reaching people. So don't give up. Keep hanging there. Try some of these new things. Take some baby steps, one little step at a time. If there's anything that we can do, man, we are here to help. There are people that are here that will help you as much as we possibly can. So reach out at any point, but keep up the good work. We need you in the kingdom.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Yep.
Bye.
God bless.